Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 11, 2020. Theory of Antisemitism, Part 8. Do the Jews know about their mission? Baal HaSulam, the Avut, Mutual Guarantee. With these words, we clearly understand what we said above, about the Torah being given specifically to the Israeli nation. Because it is certain and unequivocal, that the purpose of creation lies on the shoulders of the whole of the human race, black, white or yellow, without any essential difference. The goal of creation is global connection. The complete dissolution of all nations into each other must be so strong and without any distortions, that the Creator, the global force of good and love, will be revealed in it. There is only one goal. But only a small group that has received the method of correction can lead to it. Question: what kind of unity is this? Answer: unity is when we join together in one system and become similar to general nature. We begin to understand that nature itself is integral, supports itself at all levels, exists in full interaction with the force of love, bestowal, and mutual support, as one single organism. Question: it turns out that a combined team was created from all the nations, which was to implement the correction method among themselves and then pass it on to all the nations. Did the Jews who were subject to pogroms both in the Middle Ages and in Nazi Germany know about this? Answer: no, of course not. Question: why does nature punish creatures and want, on one hand, conscious development and, on the other hand, does not give people any knowledge about it? Answer: we have lost this knowledge. We lost it at the time of the collapse of the Second Temple. The period from the collapse of the Second Temple to the time of Ari was a stage of dark development. But beginning in the 16th century, with the appearance of Ari and then Baal Shem Tov with all his students, Kabbalah began to flourish. It became possible to explain to people what the mission of the Jewish people is. But to this day, no one wants to hear about it. Therefore, the opposite force of nature is now manifesting itself, immense modern anti-Semitism. It is not religious in nature, but rather anti-Israeli, anti-state. But this is temporary. Gradually, it will acquire completely different properties: anti-Jewish, anti-Semitism, without any addition. Now anti-Semites are still hiding behind their statements against the state, claiming that the state is apartheid. But soon all the hatred will come out again. In accordance with this, we need to explain, first of all to the Jews, that all this is happening because we are not fulfilling our historical mission. Nothing will help. Only returning to it. Remark: but if you go out on the street today and ask people if they know about their mission to unite, hardly anyone will know. My reply: this is what our Kabbalistic group should do. Question: did the 6 million people who died during the Nazi era know about this mission? Answer: they did not know and should not have known. Question: then why this attitude toward them from nature? Answer: to know this, one must understand nature. And then you will see why this is happening. Nature does not play with small states and relationships. The Kabbalists knew in advance that this would happen. And today, we assume that everything can happen again. Remark: if we consider the Creator as insensitive nature, then everything is clear. My reply: the Creator is the absolute law of nature. We have no other choice but to explain this first of all to the Jews via any media by any means without looking at any enemies or haters. For more on this topic, read my books like a bundle of reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour, and The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From KabTV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, July 22, 2019. Medium published my new article, George Floyd's Death, A Trigger to Insanity? The protests over the killing of African-American George Floyd by asphyxiation during a botched arrest, when a white police officer knelt on his neck for almost 9 minutes, have developed into a full-blown campaign against the police. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio announced he would cut funding to police and divert resources to social services. In Minneapolis, where the incident occurred, the city council voted to disband the police altogether. Only through a comprehensive and massive effort to install new values in the community, while simultaneously securing people's livelihood, does the United States stand a chance of avoiding the approaching mayhem. It is unclear what will become of law and order in light of the riots, looting, and violence spreading across the country, but these decisions clearly show that authorities are realizing that they have lost the public's trust. On the one hand, it is good when authorities realize they are disconnected from the public they are meant to serve. On the other hand, regaining people's trust takes more than a quick-fix revolutionary solution whose consequences have not been tested. People need to know that if they want to put their lives back on track, the authorities are there to help them. And building this trust requires a new kind of thinking, and a new kind of educational process. In these days, when every trauma, be it the collapse of a bank, the spread of a virus, or the unwarranted death of a man, becomes a global crisis, people should both be aware of their dependency on the social environment, and get some sort of protection from the authorities against unexpected cataclysms. Therefore, the authorities, the federal government, state government, or city council, should initiate a plan that combines learning with earning. Since unemployment and joblessness are already very high, and will grow even higher, perhaps with some fluctuations, unemployed and jobless people are ideal candidates for the program. They will receive sufficient benefits to provide for themselves and their families, but it will be contingent upon participation in courses ranging from handling personal finance to understanding the place of the individual in a globalized world. The courses should be built in such a way that participants not only learn about the interconnected worldwide system that determines our lives today, they also learn how to become positively active elements in it. The courses should increase the sense of accountability of the individual to the community, city, and ultimately the country. At the same time, the country, city, and the community must tend to people's needs and give them a financial backbone. If there are people living on the streets, it is a sign that the entire community is ill. Likewise, if people feel that looting and incinerating other people's property is a legitimate way of expressing anger, it indicates the level of alienation and apathy in society. This is why the courses should enhance the sense of belonging, interconnectedness, and accountability to one's community, city, state, and country. From the perspective of the authorities, these courses should not be regarded as a service, but as an investment. The decline in crime rate, substance abuse, domestic violence and abuse, depression and other mental disorders will more than make up for the funds invested in the learning and earning program. The funds that will be freed as a result can then be reinvested in community facilities and activities to further enhance solidarity. In order to align the whole community with the mindset of solidarity and accountability, working people, too, should do course duty, similar to today's jury duty. However, they will be paid for their time at the course, provided they pass the tests. Only through a comprehensive and massive effort to install new values in the community, while simultaneously securing people's livelihood, does the United States stand a chance of avoiding the approaching mayhem. Right now, it is on the verge of insanity, and urgent action is required. My new article on LinkedIn: Who Needs Governments? The Minneapolis City Council's decision to disband the police and the decision to cut the budget of NIPT, especially after the riots, defy any common sense. There is no question that there are bad apples among the police, just as there are bad apples everywhere. After all, the rioters who burned down buildings, looted stores, and shot at police officers and civilians, are not exactly candidates for the Presidential Citizens Medal. If we want to build a society that does not require policing, we have to introduce completely new values to society. Since ancient times, the state has been the infrastructure that allowed for culture, technology, science, and education to develop. It provided the necessary conditions for the advancement of human civilization. Policing is an integral part of the state, keeping man's insubordinate, self-centered nature in check, and ensuring that people can develop their skills and thereby contribute to the common good. Disband the police, and you have disintegrated civilization. If we want to build a society that does not require policing, we have to introduce completely new values to society. We must ensconce societal responsibility in every individual so that people will do their own policing on themselves. Society is nowhere near that state. It is a process of in-depth education that enables people to experience, not learn about, but actually experience the feeling of being interconnected and interdependent. In that state, when people begin to feel as one entity, one organism, they will not need policing. They will instinctively act for the sake of all of society, which they will perceive as part of themselves. The future form of society. Question: can we introduce the next stage of our society now? Or will this model manifest itself as we develop, rise, and begin to become integrated in it? Is this process intermittent or gradual? Answer: I think that we should begin to develop this process ourselves, since it has already been described in the writings of great people and there is no reason to refuse what they have achieved. We must use their conclusions and accomplishments and build a system of education and upbringing for all of humanity on this basis. Question: how will the whole society develop? Some people predict a dictatorship, others see furthering democracy, and there are even views regarding Nazism and fascism. Some see rather tough measures and, others, softer measures. But, so far, no actual model has been brought forth for economic, social, or political relations. Will that part of society's life, which concerns the material world and people's interests, be gradually manifested, or can it be modeled now as we move toward the realization of a plan that we understand? Answer: we must have a social discussion of what we really need and what we don't. This can be understood by the state of modern society: how much are certain professions and certain consumer goods needed? We know how we pollute the earth and how all the oceans are contaminated, etc. We need to pause and have a very serious scrutiny regarding our mistakes. Only after that can we reduce our interference in the world around us and create a system that would work only to provide humanity with essential material goods and maximal spiritual content. From the TV program, Unemployment in the Post-Coronavirus World, May 5, 2020. Does nature require the impossible from us? Question: what do you mean by connection? The great Kabbalist Baha'u'llah writes that there are only two laws in society: the law of receiving and the law of bestowal. By our nature, we love to receive from society and as for bestowal, to the extent we can receive. Therefore, the problem is that we cannot clearly balance between how much a person in society should receive and how much he should give. If there were a correct balance between receiving and bestowing, then would there be a right type of connection? Answer: at the inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels, nature regulates this instinctively. On the human level, however, we must regulate this by ourselves. But we cannot, because we do not know the whole picture regarding nature. We are ruled by egoism and everyone seeks to bend nature for themselves. Comment: this is a whole science: how much to receive, how much to give, and who to give to. Who should determine all of this? My response: we cannot describe this with directives from the government to people. We only need to feel a system of interconnectedness that includes all the forces of nature, and act in accordance with these. Question: that is, The solution is not to tell a person how much he should receive and how much he should give. Answer, no. There is a very clear understanding of what should be according to nature, Kabbalah, not in accordance with what comes into someone's head. Comment, it is clear to us how this happens in a family. If I feel a connection with my child, my wife, and my relatives, then I will strive to give them as much as possible and receive only necessities for myself because I enjoy giving to them. My response, but this works instinctively in you. What do? When we do not feel the neighbors at all and do not wish anything good for any of them? On the contrary, when I feel that I am above them, that I am bigger and more important, this fills me and pleases me. How can we rejoice in the success of others more than in our own, like we rejoice in the success of our own children because they are more important to us? Where do we get this love one's neighbor as oneself? Comment, can you imagine what nature requires of us? My response, it requires the impossible. Question, and then what? Answer, take strength from nature itself, which nature requires of you, then it will make you an altruist. It will put you on the level of your egoism and you will be able to find the correct line of behavior between egoism and altruism, between receiving and bestowing, and between caring for yourself and caring for others. And then you will see how you can change the world. From Cab TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 2nd, 2020. Why don't we feel interdependence? Question. The spreading coronavirus shows how much we are all interconnected. A Chinese man ate a bat, at least they say so, and now every day thousands of people are dying, a third of the population are quarantined in their homes. If before we theoretically knew about the butterfly effect, today we see it explicitly. Why don't we feel dependent on other people? Answer. Because we are not at the level of the interaction that exists in inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature, but at a higher level of interaction. We are not given the natural way from nature to feel how much we are interdependent in our desires and properties. We need to investigate this and reveal it ourselves. This is the subject of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Question. For people, at the highest stage of development, does nature give us freedom of choice to independently realize all these processes, and not remain under the control of instincts? Answer, I would not say that this is freedom. We have been given a very relative, very narrow freedom in order to make sure that we ourselves need to reveal the correct interaction between ourselves and the inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature. This is not absolute freedom to do what you want. No. This freedom is only in understanding, realizing, revealing, exploring, and adapting ourselves to our complete dependence on all levels of nature and to organically fit into them. From Cab TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 2nd, 2020. Connected by billions of forces. Question. In the new world, in the post-coronavirus era, will each individual feel all 8 billion people in the world, as well as the still, vegetative, and animate levels of nature, plus his dependence on them? Answer. He will feel not only his dependence, but also his influence on them. As it is said, the good of one person depends on the good of all people, and vice versa. The good of all people depends on everyone. Question. And will this be clear to any person? Answer. Not only clear, it will be visible because we will reveal the system of interaction. We are interconnected by invisible forces that are not felt by us. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that we must unleash these forces of interaction and begin to explore ourselves and the world around us in order to attain complete connection between ourselves at the mental, psychological, and sensual levels. We must become one, single system so that each one who feels some desire, intention, or thought within himself, feels how much he can change the whole system with these factors because he is a strong, energetic, and an individually developed part. Question. and a person will not need to believe in this since he will feel it all? Answer: of course. Just as I see various small mechanisms in front of me, I will also reveal myself as a part of one huge mechanism. Just as everyone is connected with me through billions of forces that affect me, in the same way, I simultaneously influence them with billions of my properties and qualities. Question: there is attainment in Kabbalah and there is faith. Even if it seems logical to me, why should I believe in it if I do not feel it? Answer: there is no need to believe. You just need to investigate it and begin to apply it as we unfold. From Cab TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, February 4, 2020. Mismatch of man with the integrality of nature. Question: you keep saying that the virus and everything that happens to us is sent by nature. What do you mean by this? Answer: nature is everything that surrounds us, inanimate, vegetative, and animate nature, and human society. The inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels act instinctively according to the laws that this system awakens in them. Therefore, there are no internal contradictions. A person consists of two qualities: the egoistic quality that makes him think only about himself, and the quality of connection with the entire world around him. Here, a contradiction manifests itself. A person is the opposite of the world. We call this oppositeness egoism, which is not present in the inanimate, vegetative, or animate nature. In order to achieve his goals and desires to become greater, better, richer, and more powerful, man is ready to destroy all of the surrounding nature, and he has all the possibilities to do this. Here the problem arises: what can be done with a person in order for him to become an organic participant within this system, an integral part of nature, and to not go outside of it and do with it whatever he wants? From year to year and from generation to generation, man becomes more and more powerful. He kills nature, bends it underneath him, and does things that he does not even need to do. Why? Just because it is necessary to satisfy his small, personal interests. He burns down forests, drains reservoirs, and does everything to earn money at this moment, to do something to indulge his narrow egoism, although it is absolutely unreasonable. He simply destroys nature. Question: but aren't we ourselves a part of nature? Answer: on the one hand, we are a part of nature and we can't get out of it. On the other hand, we have an egoistic quality that puts us above nature. Question: nature has its own laws, the law of gravity, the law of thermodynamics, etc. Over the past few hundred years, humanity has discovered more than 200 physical laws. Which of them do we as humans not conform with? Answer: we do not conform to the integral law of nature because all of it is interconnected and is in the state of a closed system that must support itself. We go beyond the framework of integral nature, believing that we can do anything because we need it at that moment. Let us say I want to be richer than others. This is not justified, but I want it, and so I cut down forests, pump out oil, and pollute the air. And it does not matter to me. The main thing for me is to achieve my own egoistic goal. The animal world has no such goals. Their only goal is to feed themselves and raise their offspring. In addition to these animalistic goals, man has another goal: to rise above others. This is due to our egoism that pushes us to use everything possible in the world around us in order to achieve this goal. From Cab TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 2, 2020. The condition for the future world. Question: what will the economy and the political structure of the future world be? Answer: I think that the relationships between countries will depend on the relationships between people. They will not be as distorted as they are today when one country is an enemy of the other one. People can be very close to each other. I believe that everything should begin from the relationships between people and continue to expand in breadth until the entire world becomes friendly. If this does not happen, then, believe me, nature will force us. All the so-called viruses are just beginning to work. There are many more problems awaiting us if we do not follow the integral nature. Question: in this regard, can the European Union survive only if the ties of mutual aid between people are established? Answer: you can forget about the European Union. It is gone. It is better if it will just go away somewhere and you forget about it. Otherwise, you have no idea what it can do. If, after the coronavirus, it returns to its normal activities, it is terrible to think what will happen there. It is best if it just quietly crumbles. But I think this is not that simple. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 12, 2020. Why do events repeat? Question: why are the same things happening in our lives? Why is there a recurrence, a repetition of events? Answer: it is so that we can gradually correct ourselves. You cannot do it all at once. Therefore, we go through many life cycles. Moreover, each time the soul goes through what is called genesis or reincarnation, there is a partial reunion of souls, followed by another separation, and again some subsequent combination. As a result, all of the souls are completely corrected. I advise you to read materials about the cycle of the souls. Souls means desires that are gradually transformed from the desire for oneself to the desire for the sake of the Creator. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 8, 2020. What does the search for the Creator stem from? Question: what does the need to see the good that does good stem from? Answer: the search for the Creator appears in us when we want to feel the purpose of our life. What am I living for? Why is all this given to me? What is the purpose of this world? Man develops for centuries and eventually reaches the state in which he asks himself about that. Yet the world does not answer a person, but quite the opposite. It shows him its aimlessness and its meaninglessness. So a person doesn't know what to do until one reaches a state of putting an end to life by committing suicide, or by taking drugs and so on, because there is no reason to live. It is actually in this generation that the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed, which explains the meaning of life to a person. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 1, 2019. My new article on LinkedIn: the root of racism. When we try to cope with racism, we have to look at its root. There is no point trying to uproot racism against any ethnic group or skin color if we don't pull out its seed. Regrettably, we cannot pull it out, since the seed of racism, bigotry, and any kind of discrimination is human nature. Human nature, of which it was said that it is evil from our youth, is utter, unabated egoism, self-absorption at its worst. The solution to racism is to cherish and treasure, and embrace every person's uniqueness as our own. No two people are the same. Blacks, whites, yellow, and red, men and women, tall and short, heavy and light, cheerful and gloomy, shrewd and naive, optimistic and pessimistic, these are all traits that make up who we are as people, traits that, for the most part, we cannot change. There are so many combinations of so many traits that no two people are the same. Yet, the problem is not that we are different. The problem is that we hate what is different from us in other people, and love what is similar to us in them. And since we are becoming increasingly self-absorbed, we are seeing people as increasingly different from ourselves. This is why hatred among people will not decrease. It will keep growing until we cannot stand even a single person, since that person is in some tiny, undetectable manner not like us. But where do the differences between us come from? The wisdom of Kabbalah explains that reality consists of two basic desires: a desire to give and a desire to receive. These two desires interact, since the desire to give needs a receiver and the desire to receive needs a giver. Therefore, they communicate in four basic types of communication, or mixtures of reception and giving. These four types, or phases of giving and receiving, exist in every element in reality. In humans, they express themselves, among other expressions, through the four basic types of skin color. To cut matters short, it's not a problem that we are different, it's nature, and nature is beautiful. In all of nature, we love how things complement one another. We love to see courtship between males and females, the constant rejuvenation of nature in the cycle of life and death, and how each element plays its complementary part in the ecosystem to create a harmonious whole. But when it comes to people, we fight to make everyone the same and denounce anyone who dares to celebrate the human variety as a bigot. By doing this, we are sentencing ourselves to misery. Just like all of nature, humanity is one, complementary whole. We are meant to work harmoniously like all of reality, where all the pieces contribute to one another, support one another, embrace one another, and celebrate the differences between them. But only if we put the whole above the self, we above me, people above individual, only then will each person really be able to celebrate and fully express his or her own unique qualities. Because how can we know who we are if we are always trying to emulate others? How can we know what we can give to society if all we think about is what society says what it wants us to be? So society ends up choking us, we end up hating it, and instead of contribution, we think of retribution. This is the prevailing mindset in our current society. The differences between people are not only indelible, they are vital for our health as a society. We would not be a complete humanity were it not for all of us, with all our differences. If we only looked beyond our self-absorbed egos and saw the beauty of humanity, we would understand what a magnificent mosaic we form, as colorful as nature itself. We would celebrate the varieties between us and embrace them, and the more differences we would see in people, the more we would love them, since the more colors and shapes of the mosaic they would reveal to us. So, succinctly, the root of racism is not in the differences between us, it is our wrongful ambition to make everyone the same. The solution to racism is therefore to cherish and treasure, and embrace every person's uniqueness as our own. We need to love each person because what another unique human being can give to humanity, I will never be able to give. And if that person did not give it, humanity would always be deficient. The Times of Israel published my new article Anti-Semitism and Pandemics. Be it a plague or a war, a flood or an earthquake, a revolution or a financial meltdown, in the end, there is always one culprit, the Jews. In America, too, many already blame COVID-19 on the Jews, as is the case with the riots engulfing the tormented country. In the 1950s and 60s, the Jews stood shoulder to shoulder with the blacks in their fight for equal rights. No one remembers and no one gives them credit. Now, too, they stand shoulder to shoulder with the protesters. No one will remember and no one will give them credit. The Jews donate to various charities and NGOs more money than any ethnic or racial group. But what do people say? First they stole it, now they're giving us the crumbs to buy our gratitude. Of course, not everyone says it, but a great many do, and an even greater many tacitly agrees with them. It's always been like that and it'll always be like that until we learn what fundamental flaw we Jews have in our approach. Jews are the only nation that has ever been tasked with bringing peace and love to the entire world. We gave the world the most altruistic motto ever conceived, love your neighbor as yourself, yet we display the complete opposite of it, internal enmity and odium. We may sympathize with strangers' pains, but we loathe our own coalitionists. And even though they don't verbalize it, deep down, this is what Jew haters hate about Jews, that Jews hate each other. When we became a nation, We were given a task: unite as one man with one heart, and thereby become a light unto nations. For centuries, we have been trying everything to avoid our vocation. We talk about morals, ethics, justice, but we refuse to talk about love. Morals are a miserable surrogate for love. Just as a mother doesn't need morals to tend to her child because her love guides her, if we cultivate love among us, we won't need morals, and we will treat each other beautifully. Then, and only then, will non-Jews say, "Now we respect them."